News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
I am joined by Mary Hanafin, barrister, former minister, to bring us up to speed on some of the stories you may not yet have heard and to give analysis on some of those that you have. And where we start, Mary, is with President Volodymyr Zelensky proposing face-to-face talks in an open letter that he's written to Vladimir Putin. How much of this do you think is a real attempt to achieve peace, and how much of it is that he knows that he needs to continue to show willing?
I think what he knows is that Donald Trump is occupied elsewhere in the world, so he needs to keep Ukraine and Russia on the world agenda. And this is a way of doing it. And I think it's also a recognition that Ukraine has survived this war an awful lot longer than anyone would expect it. Zelensky has proven himself to be a very strong leader. So I think he's putting it up to Putin in a way. He's saying, I want face-to-face talks. Don't wait for the US. Let's have a ceasefire. On the other hand, Putin, who hasn't responded directly to the letter, obviously, is saying, yeah, sure, but we want you to surrender territory, four regions, back exactly where we were 4 years ago, and to give up any effort to join NATO. There's also an element in the interaction between the two of being very mocking and defiant, because Zelensky, whereas he's obviously wants a ceasefire, wants to end the war, he's also saying to Putin, oh, you're 26 years in power, age is beginning to take its toll. Putin is saying back, oh, well, you don't have a legal mandate because your mandate ran out in 2024. So they're trading insults at the same time.
To what extent, if at all, do you think Putin wants an off-ramp? I mean, there's been a lot of discussion about Trump in Iran needing politically a way to get this to conclude. Economically, is Putin in the same position where he cannot allow this to continue forever, or will he just do exactly that?
I believe he cannot allow it to continue forever. The problem is, even if there is any kind of an agreement now, there's no guarantee that he won't come back in again in a few years, because he took Crimea and then came back in 8 years later. And that's where the difficulty lies. So what I do think is interesting, though, is that Putin, or at least the Kremlin, are saying the EU need to help the Ukraine to come to compromises. Now, the EU is not going to make the Ukraine compromise, but the fact that he's recognising the important role of the EU, I think, is significant.
Meanwhile, we have discovered across the Irish Sea further revelations in respect of the prince formerly known as Andrew, or Andrew formerly known as the prince, Andrew Mountbatten-Windsor. It has been revealed that he was subletting three cottages that he was responsible for, while at the same time himself paying a peppercorn rent to the state.
Subletting and keeping the money. So it'd be one thing if he was handing it back to the royal estate, which has enough money and enough houses, let it be said. But it's just another example of pure and absolute greed. Now, as somebody who had dinner with Prince Andrew on the island of Ireland rather than any other island, I would just like to make clear, I'm not going to defend him. But the I think he has enough problems. But as well as that, his two daughters are also getting preferential rent on their houses. It looks like King Charles has sympathy for the daughters of Prince Andrew that he certainly doesn't have for his brother, and rightly so.
The sympathy is skipping a generation.
But they're not working royals. There's only 11 working royals who get free.
Working is a pretty loose term, though, isn't it?
Geez, in fairness, some of them work really hard.
Did they?
But I think I think the royal family is worth millions to the British economy. Absolutely millions. The value of the grant, the sovereign grant, is just 138 million, but it must be worth billions in tourism. So we mightn't like the whole notion of a royal family coming from a good republic like we do, but they do attract people to look at the pageantry and the pomp and the ceremony.
Let's go to the other end of the spectrum then, and people who are really committed to republican ideals, that being a French billionaire who wants the law changed so that he can disinherit his five kids. Because, like here, there is a certain mandatory amount that gets passed to the kids. He wants them to get duck egg.
But unlike here, the spouse is protected in Irish law, which it isn't in French, which is really interesting. And I think one of the best things Charlie Haughey ever did was the family home, and enjoyed that the wife, as it were, was protected in that. Yeah, he wants to disinherit his five children. He's worth 1.4 billion, apparently. there's many a person would say, well, let the children make their own money. But unfortunately, he wants to give his money to very far right charities. And as well as criticising the inheritance law in France, he's actually living in Belgium. But it's a question that I don't think will go very far in France.
Why? Is there some? Is it a bit like the thing of alimony that there is, you create an expectation in children of being able to continue in a life to which they have become accustomed and you can't abandon them? Is that theory?
It's not even an expectation. The law in France protects the child and protects the inheritance of the children. So that's what he's actually looking for. Not that he can make a decision himself to disinherit his five children, but the law protects those children. But there's nothing to stop him doing what other billionaires have done and to spend it during his lifetime.
Well, that is a fine point. If there is nothing there to be distributed,
there to
that's your problem solved.
Then you can't blame that.
Finally, bees apparently are much smarter than we have previously given them credit for. Bumblebees can solve complex puzzles.
Without being given any direction, they were able to find the prize. But I mean, with all of these complex puzzles, I got a great little kick last night when a little badge popped up to say I had just done my 1,000th Wordle. And I thought, how sad. I'm after spending 3 years.
You've done 1,000 Wordles.
I've done 1,000 Wordles. Isn't that very sad?
Well, it's commitment to your art. I'll give you that.
I love Wordle, but I mean, 3 years doing Wordle at night. Sad life.
Do you play words with friends? Do you play words with friends?
No, I just do it all on my own. Sad life.
Mary, thank you very much. That is Mary Hannafin. 53106. If you want to get in touch, or 087-1400-106.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage in association with Air. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk, conversation that counts.